Greetings, everyone. Open your Bible to Proverbs chapter 18. Be sure to take out your outline. I have them on the chair there for those who would like to take notes and follow along. Proverbs 18. And those who remember what I said this morning regarding opening your Bible when I first started, we're at the same place. So, it's only appropriate to do that because of, in light of what we're doing. We're doing our series again on the book of Proverbs. And this morning we dealt with the Proverbs, what it talked about, the proper, right, and holy use of our tongue. Tonight we're going to talk about the sinful use of the tongue and to avoid it, to stay away from it, be aware of it, alert to it, examine our heart, examine our words. Be careful what we say before we let them loose. Before we go any farther, let's go to the Lord in prayer and ask Him to be with us. Our Father, we come before You, asking and beseeching and begging You for help. Lord, You have made it abundantly clear no man can tame the tongue. It's an unruly evil. Why? Because our hearts are desperately wicked. Our hearts are deceitful. We don't even know. We're not even aware of the depth of the depravity of our own heart. And here lies where our words originate. It is out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. And Lord, so often we say things, we are oblivious to their negative impact. And Lord, forgive us. You have made it clear throughout Your word how important our words are. You made it very obvious for us to be aware of the words we say and the words we choose. And so, Father, we pray tonight as we turn our attention to the abundant witness in the book of Proverbs to the wrongful, sinful use of our speech. Father, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight we'll be addressing the negative, the unwise, and sinful uses of the tongue. James in chapter 3 said, "No man can tame the tongue. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison." We need to be aware of the wrongful things we say to one another. This morning I dealt with the fact that there's all kinds of different words, kind of a word group that speak to the of our language, our lips, our mouth, our speech, our response, our witness. And in Proverbs alone we learned that in that word group, it would use 195 times. So God speaks much about how we should govern and watch our speech and the things we say. Our Lord Himself taught us that the source of our words is our heart. Again, I want to remind you what we learned this morning, Luke 6:45. A good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, and an evil man out of the evil treasure of his heart brings forth evil. For out of the abundance of the heart his mouth speaks. Tonight, this morning we talked about the good treasure, what our heart should be full of, and the kind of language and speech and communication we should have among each other. Tonight we're going to address the evil treasure that often is there, and we need to be aware of that so we can examine it, mortify it, put it to death, and may God be honored and glorified, and people around us blessed, encouraged, comforted, and edified. We say the things that dominate our thoughts and our hearts. I said this morning, I will say it again, there are no slips of the tongue that did not originate first in the heart. You can't say, "Oh, I didn't mean it." No, you have thought about it long before you said those words. Those words are the final result of what your thoughts were. And we need to be careful and observe and try to be more careful. Again, tonight, it's about the sinful use of the tongue. So point number one, we must avoid sinful speech. We must avoid it. Shun it. Stay away from it. Look at Proverbs 18, verse 21. After I asked you to turn, it's also on our lips. And happily, I don't think it's in this one. Not in this one, but we're using it because it's a powerful truth. And that is the fact. Death and life are in the power of the tongue. And those who love it will eat its fruit. We will have addressing the power of the tongue that is destructive, that is wrong, that is hurtful, not edifying, not encouraging, not honoring to the Lord. Charles Bridges, the great commentator of the book of Proverbs, said this, quote, "Who does not take care about what seeds he sows? The farmer knows that his harvest is dependent on which seeds he scattered. The fruit of our lips, the power of our tongue, can give one of two harvests. It can be poisonous or wholesome. It can lead to life or death. Evil words tend to death, good words to life. Good words bring comfort to the speaker as well as to the listener. There is no middle path. There are only extremes. It is either the worst of evils or the best of blessing." So how you use your word either hurts or helps. It either builds or destroys. And we need to be careful. We learned this morning that James said that it is like a fire that you can use in like a match that starts the forth fire and creates an enormous amount of damage and destruction from one little match. Same way with one little word. One little word can help destroy life, and it's important that we are aware of that. Even our Lord said this, Matthew 12:37, "For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned." That was in the context that we will give an account of every idle word we have ever spoken. Proverbs 18, verse 6 and 7 says this, "A fool's lips enter into contention, and his mouth called for blows." A fool's mouth is his destruction, and his lips are the snares of his soul. So you not only hurt others, but you hurt yourself when you don't control what you say. If you do not avoid the sinful use of speech. So point number two, I simply wanted to stress that we need to be aware of the fact that we need to govern what we say, because there is power in their speech, death and life. Now we got the sinful use of our speech. We must understand this. Proverbs 12, verse 17 through 19 said, "He who speaks truth declares righteousness, but a false witness deceit. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. The truth will live, will be established forever, but a lying tongue is but for a moment." I wanted to put those two together. Those are the same. We used that verse as well this morning. In my lid, there were some overlap. There's about 7 or 8 passages that overlap from this morning into tonight, because they were constantly showing the contrast between putting them side by side, what good use of the tongue looked like and what the bad use of the tongue looked like. And this is one of them. And just like we learned this morning, the 5 key words, when I looked through all of the entire list of just Proverbs, my goodness, I was busy enough, let alone going to the rest of the Bible. But yet in Proverbs alone, we found 5 key words that we should govern our tongue for good. And that would, we need to restrain, we need to guard our speech, our speech need to be wholesome, our speech need to be great, filled with grace and kindness. Tonight, we're going to talk about the 5 uses of the tongue we must avoid. First word is found in Proverbs 12:22. Lying lips. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord, but those who deal truthfully are his delight. God hates lying lip. All you have to do is go back to Proverbs 6, where it talked about the things that the Lord hates, and He hates lying lips. The idea of lying, it means to give a lie. Well, that's a given, right? It is the idea to misrepresent something, to give falsehood, to intentionally to deceive or use fraud. A lot of times to protect yourself instead of telling the truth and taking what comes your way, you choose to lie. Or you'll lie to gain an advantage. So if you tell the lie and they embrace the lie and they make this choice or go down this path, you are on this side of the situation. The word number two that is in Proverbs is the word talebearer. Talebearer, found in Proverbs 11:13. A talebearer reveals secrets, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. The word talebearer, the Hebrew word that was used, it was interesting. The lexicon made sure that I understood this person's goal is to intentionally create scandal. The reason why they bring out information, because it's juicy and it's going to cause ripple effects. They call them a scandal monger. It is the use of slander. It is with the intention to cause contention, then division, and discord by spreading information. Not misinformation, but information that should not be revealed. You're supposed to conceal it for the protection of the person. That's why the verse said, but he who is of a faithful spirit conceals the matter. The whole world doesn't need to know all of our warts and issues. We already have problems with the human heart, our own hearts. Let alone hear about the dirty laundry of everybody else. Here lies the problem with so often in our movies and so often in the news report. Well, I got to tell it like it is. You don't have to say everything. In fact, the Bible made it clear there, it is a shame to speak of those things done in secret. And yet, we want to bring it out into the limelight. And it does not help. And we should not follow that path or that pattern. Talebearers, those in Proverbs 18 verse 6, a fool's lip enter into contention and his mouth called for blows. Notice, talebearer. Their desire is to spread misinformation, but to spread information that should be concealed. And in the fact that they bring it out, it brings about contention. It, you know, a friend may have confided in somebody and they broadcast it and they go, why did you do that? Now this relationship is strained. Not to mention everybody else, and what they know now. That's why Matthew 18 in the sure discipline, that when you have an issue with a brother or sister, you go to them and them alone, because it's nobody else's business to even know about it. We all have that temptation to want to get all into the Jew. No, we don't need it. It's baggage. It's hurtful. It's harmful to them as well as ourselves. Don't go there. Proverbs 26, 20 and 21 says it this way. One of my favorite, I use it all the time with my boys whenever they're fighting and arguing. It goes like this. Proverbs 26, 20 and 21. Where there is no wood, the fire goes out. And where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. As charcoal is to burning coals and wood to fire, so is a contentious man to kindle strife. The illustration I've used it often, and I'll say it again, because this is the passage that I went to. And when our sons were fighting and arguing and going back, and one of the first questions I would ask them is, who's going to be the first one to quit throwing wood on the fire? When you look at it, when the wood seat being put on the fire goes out. When you quit putting words and contentious words and back and forth and constantly hammering and arguing and it's escalating in not only in volume but in hurtful words and things that are not necessary, we can resolve this in a gentle way. with truth and humbling ourselves to wherever we land regarding the truth. So wherever there is no wood, the fire goes out. Where there is no talebearer, strife ceases. Word number three, found in Proverbs 17, verse 4, and that is the word spiteful. Do not have a spiteful tongue. It reads, the evildoer heeds to false lips. A liar listens eagerly to a spiteful tongue. The word spiteful, the Hebrew word, it is a tongue. It's a word that they communicate with the desire to ruin and create mischief. But this word doesn't deal with it much and the end goal as a result as the desire to cause it. This word is more originates in the person's heart and in the way of desire. So when you are spiteful and your tongue is spiteful, it shows intention because you desire to do this. In fact, we need to be aware how often we have caused mischief that all originated with unholy desires and intent. Word number four is the word flatters. Proverbs 20, verse 19, he who goes about as a talebearer reveals secrets. Therefore, do not associate with one who flatters with his lips. The word flatter, the Hebrew word here, it means to deceive the gullible, to allure or seduce, to persuade falsely, which is the opposite of the truth. When you have the other word, such as lion lips, it speaks of to intentionally deceive. Here you want to flatter in a positive sense to deceive. You know, my, you look great. Your cooking is absolutely out of this world. And all of it, and it all had a hook to get you to like the person. This is the used car salesman. They love to say everything sweet about this car to get you to buy it. Not all used car salesmen are like that. Praise God, there are some good ones out there. The point is we need to not be a person who flatters. Proverbs 16:29. A violent man entices his neighbor and leads him in a way that is not good. The word entices, the exact Hebrew word, is the word flatter. A violent man will use his speech in a way to flatter, to get them to ease up and not be so suspicious of them. But at the end, it said it leads them in a way that is not good. Proverbs 29:5. A man who flatters his neighbor spreads a net for his feet. Now, just so you know, that's not a good thing. That usually is a picture for a trap. They are flattering to set up a trap to get somebody to buy into the concept only to set them up. But they use flattery. Positive words that is not truthful. Word number five have to do with the person, but their number one weapon is their use of their tongue, and that is the scoffer. Scoffer, number five. 22, verse 10. Cast out the scoffer, and contention will leave, yet strife and reproach will cease. Why is that? Because scoffers are always good at stirring up the pot. They're always good at constantly agitating the situation. The word scoffer is a person who scorns, who speaks arrogantly and proudly. This is the person who mocks and derides that which is good, that which is holy, and that which is right. We have a world full of mockers and scoffers in our world today who think nothing of blaspheming God and mocking his people. We should never be in that crowd. We should never use our tongue that way. We should never scoff, scorn, and mock people and use our word to do that, to demoralize them. That is wrong.
A scoffer by nature is against authority, all authority. They're against righteousness, and they're against wisdom. They're against God. They're against His people. So we need to be careful. Even Proverbs 21:24 said this, a proud and haughty man, scoffer is his name, and he acts with arrogant pride. Everything about them is arrogant and proud. No wonder they speak in such a condescending way, anything that's contrary to their line of reasoning or thinking. This is the spirit that had really taken on the new atheism, that very militant. It wasn't just a cordial, civil discussion of, you know, I believe in theism, and no, I believe in God doesn't exist. And having that discussion, now they do it in a belligerent and spiteful, meanful, scoffing way. Don't let that intimidate you. Just be armed and be aware that God warned us that there will be scoffer always in every generation. So, those are the five words that we need to avoid and shun and stay away from. When I went through the rest of the list, and the following thing that we need to come to the conclusion to shun, avoid, and completely vanish from our speech. First of all, any speech that is hateful, perverse, evil, and deceptive in any way. Don't deceive, don't lie, don't flatter. Don't say something that is perverse, which is the word that means twisting it from the truth or distorting it from the truth. Perversion is taking truth and flipping it on its head. It's twisting what God says. Certainly don't have hateful speech. Proverbs 10:32, but the mouth of the wicked, that is perverse. Proverbs 15:28, but the mouth of the wicked poured forth evil. This is what they speak. Proverbs 12:17, but a false witness, deceit. When you bear false witness and you do not witness to something truthfully but falsely, you are deceitful. Period. It's wrong. It's wicked, and your conscience should be on fire when you do it. Another thing I found was that we should avoid at all costs words that cause contention, division, and discord in relationship. You got to get to the truth of it, yes, but you can do it in a cordial manner. But there are people who want to be right no matter whatever anybody else thinks. Remember we talked about in Proverbs 18, verse 1, the person who wants to isolate themselves, and the reason why they want to isolate themselves is because they rage against wisdom. They rage against the truth. They don't want to be told they're wrong. People who are like that are contentious to anybody that challenges them. Show you. Turn with me to Proverbs 9. Proverbs chapter 9. We spent an entire message on this. Proverbs chapter 9, beginning in verse 6. Forsake foolishness and live. Go in a way of understanding. He who corrects the scoffer gets shame for himself. He rebukes a wicked man only harms himself. Do not correct a scoffer lest he hate you. Rebuke a wise man and he will love you. Give instruction to a wise man, and he will be wiser. Teach a just man, and he will increase in learning. So when you try to correct a scoffer, somebody who can't fathom the concept they could possibly be wrong, do you avoid those people? Proverbs 12:18 gave a vivid imagery here. We read it earlier. Let me isolate it for you. There is one who speaks like the piercing of a sword. Let me ask you, is being poked by a sword helpful or hurtful? I think you know the answer. There are people who use their tongue in that fashion, in that manner. We are not to go there. We stay away from there. It said, but the tongue of the wise promotes health. We're not talking about physical health. We're talking about spiritual health. Wholesome words that bring comfort and heals and restores. Proverbs 15:1, a soft answer turns away wrath, but a harsh word stirs up anger. Now I want you to notice, I didn't ask you to turn there, but let me just note that. Proverbs 15:1, the end, specifically Proverbs 15:1b, but a harsh word, singular, can do a lot of damage. One word. Be careful what you say. One word can stir up anger in the heart of someone else because of our carelessness and choice of words. So be careful. Here's one. We're still under the theme of contention, division, and discord. We already know from Proverbs 6, we did the full exposition of that. We're now taking it from Proverbs 10 on in a thematic fashion. But in Proverbs 6, God hates those who sow discord. Here's a good one. Proverbs 16, verse 27 and 8. An ungodly man digs up evil. It is on his lip like a burning fire. He can't wait to let it loose. A pervert man sows strife, and a whisperer separates the best of friends. Hey, you know what so-and-so did? Talk behind people's back is one of the most hurtful ways and destructive ways in relationships. And yet, it happens all the time. And we're sad that even Christians who do it won't even humble themselves to confess this sin. Lastly, do not be hasty and angry with your words. When you're angry, that's a good time to be quiet. Because you'll regret the words you say. Don't be hasty. In other words, be thorough and thoughtful before you speak. Remember earlier this morning, a righteous man studies the answer, prepares their words. So it's not only, we learn also this morning that we need to have the tongue of the learned, and we need to not only say the right thing, but in a timely manner and at the right time. Proverbs 29:20. Do you see a man hasty in his word? There is more hope for a fool than for him. Somebody who is always quick to just say something. Proverbs 29:22. An angry man stirs up strife, and a furious man abounds in transgression. How do they do that? Well, we know they can do it physically, but many times they do it with words. With words. And quit getting the idea of this frothing of the mouth, uncontrollable anger. We learned when we did our study a while back on the passive aggressive anger. People have different ways of displaying their anger. You can have the calm and cool, collective, passive aggressive, and they are calculating an entirely different way to produce, to unfold or reveal their anger. But it's nevertheless rooted in anger. It's rooted in anger. Still a sin. And the path of aggressive, though they don't do what the other three do, they don't hurt by hitting people. They don't hurt by using harsh words, and they don't hurt by destroying things that belong to the other person. They do it by behind the scene, insidiously, like I call it, the difference between using the sledgehammer versus the termite who takes years to take burrow into a house and to destroy the structure of a house and it collapse. Little by little, they do these insidious seeds to manipulate the situation and to make others frustrated and upset. So they look bad instead of the person who's angry. Again, all about stirring up strife. Point number three. Passages that speak, that forbid sinful use of speech. There is a lot of verses out there in the Bible. There is no shortage of verses. You can almost probably find something in every book of the Bible about the wrong use of the tongue. Here are a few. Colossians 3, verse 8. But now you yourselves are to put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy language out of your mouth. Ephesians 4:29, let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. Ephesians 5, verse 3 and 4, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints. Neither, okay, that list was obvious. Neither these things, he said, filthiness or foolish talking or court jesting, which are not fitting, rather giving of thanks. I got one for you out of one book, that one chapter, Jude 8. Speaking of false teachers, and here's one of the distinctive traits of them. Likewise, also the dreamers defile the flesh, reject authority, and speak evil of dignitary. Beloved, though I am as frustrated you are with the going and direction of our country, we are to pray for them, not to curse them. We don't speak evil of them. We speak the truth, deal with the issue, not the person. But eventually, we know from other portions of Scripture, we are both to honor our leaders and pray for them, that we may live a quiet and peaceful and godly life. Psalms 120, verse 1 and 2. In my distress, I cried to the Lord, and he heard me. Deliver my soul, O Lord, from lying lips and from deceitful tongue. I thought that was an interesting prayer request. The psalmist was simply saying, Lord, keep me from people who lie and deceive me, because it hurts me. You know, you get around these people and you can't tell if they're telling the truth or not. Are they deceiving you or not? So he prayed, Lord, deliver me from these people. You know as well as I do, that's true of his own heart. Deliver me from lying lips and deception. Psalm 15, verse 1 through 3. The psalmist poses the question, and then he answers it. The question, Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill? Summarized, who can fellowship with you and draw near to you? Answer, he who walks uprightly, works righteousness, and speaks the truth in his heart. Now here's the kicker. And he who does not backbite with his tongue, nor does evil to his neighbor, nor does he take up a reproach against a friend. Psalm 52, verses 1 through 5. Why do you boast in evil, O mighty man? The goodness of God endures continually. Your tongue devises destruction like a sharp razor working deceitfully. You love evil more than good, lying rather than speaking righteousness, Selah. You love all your devouring words, you deceitful tongue. God shall likewise destroy you forever. He shall take away you away and pluck you out of your dwelling place and uproot you from the land of the living. Selah. People who use their tongue in a damaging, destructive, hurtful, harmful way are going to be dealt with. We don't want to go there. That's the opposite of what Proverbs is teaching us right from the get-go. The fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord doesn't, people that fear the Lord don't talk that way. They don't use the lip that God gave them to use to speak the truth and sing His praises and be thankful and use words to heal and encourage and comfort and edify and strengthen. Here's one tucked away in Ezekiel 13, verse 22. Because with lies you have made the heart of the righteous sad, whom I have not made sad. And you have strengthened the hands of the wicked so that he does not turn from his wicked way to save his life. See, that is a rebuke to the false teachers and the false prophets of that day. They were saying just the opposite of what the true prophets were saying. You make my righteous one sad. I didn't make him sad. You did. You said, thus saith the Lord, and said what I didn't say. And yet, when you did that, you weakened my people and you strengthened the wicked. That's what happens when we lie regarding the things of the Lord. Here's one in the New Testament, Romans 16, 17, and 18. Toward the end of the book. Now I urge you, brethren, note those who cause division and offenses contrary to the doctrines which you have learned, and avoid them. For those who are such do not serve our Lord Jesus Christ, but their own belly, and by smooth words and flattering speech deceive the heart of the simple. Here's one on our authorities. Titus chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. Remind them to be subject to rulers and authorities, to obey and be ready for every good work, to speak evil of no one, to be peaceable, gentle, showing all humility to all men. 1 Timothy 5, verse 13. And besides, they learn to be idle, wandering about from house to house, not only idle, but also gossip and busybody, saying things which they ought not. When you're idle and you start needing to go around and start, and it's so easy now. You don't even have to go house to house. You can just pick up your phone, email, Facebook it. They all kind of gripe. We're going to be accountable for all of it. Whether those words were typed, they all flowed from the heart. Check, when you hit that send, man, there are times when I don't want to send that. I remember long ago, I would advise, and I think it's a good practice, did back in the day when we actually wrote letters that put a stamp on it. They say if you got a letter that you're really kind of angry about something, about someone, it's best to write it, wait a day, read it, and throw it away. Because once that letter goes, there's no retrieving it. Same is true with texting, email, and all the other stuff that's out there. I can't keep up with it. But the point is, be careful. Gossip and busybodies, saying things you have no business saying. It's wrong. Oh, it felt good when I said it. Yeah, it feels good for sinners to sin for a moment. We don't want to do that. Let me close with these words. I thought these were a good word to wrap up both this morning and tonight. Psalm 34, 11 through 14. Come, you children, listen to me, and I'll teach you to fear the Lord. Who is the man who desires life and loves many days, that he may see good? Keep your tongue from evil and your lip from speaking deceit. Depart from evil and do good. Seek peace and pursue it. Father, thank you. Thank you for your wonderful word for us. Now, Lord, help us to heed it. Respond to it in a way that would honor and glorify you, that would align us to these truths that we just heard tonight. Help us to seek to honor and glorify you. We met up in a lot of ways, in a lot of areas. Probably nowhere do we met up more than the words we say. Help us to use our tongue in a way that glorifies you. Blesses those around us and edifies and strengthens your people. All for your glory. In Christ's name, amen.